The reading is from the book of Kings, the first book of the Kings, chapter 19. Now Ahab told Jezebel, his wife, everything that Elijah has done and how he had killed all the prophets with the sword. So his wife Jezebel sent a messenger to Elijah to say, "May the gods deal with me, be it ever so severely, if by this time tomorrow I do not make your life like one of them." Elijah was afraid and ran for his life. When he came to Beersheba in Judah, he left his servant there while he himself went a day's journey into the wilderness. He came to a broom bush, sat down under it and prayed that he might die. "I have had enough, Lord. Take my life. I am no better than my ancestors." Then he lay down under a bush and fell asleep. All at once, an angel touched him, saying,
"Get up and eat."
He looked around, and there by his head was some bread baked over hot coals and a jar of water. He ate and drank, and then lay down again. The angel of the Lord came back a second time and touched him, saying,
"Get up and eat, for the journey is too much for you."
So he got up and ate and drank, and strengthened by that food, he travelled 40 days and 40 nights until he reached Horeb, the mountain of God. There he went into a cave and spent the night. And the word of the Lord came to him.
"What are you doing here, Elijah?"
"I have been very zealous for the Lord God Almighty. The Israelites have rejected your covenant, torn down your altars, and put your prophets to death by the sword. I am the only one left, and now they're trying to kill me."
"Go out and stand on the mountain in the presence of the Lord, for the Lord is about to pass by."
Then a great and powerful wind tore the mountains apart, shattering the rocks before the Lord. But the Lord was not in the wind. After the wind, there was an earthquake, but the Lord was not in the earthquake. After the earthquake came a fire, but the Lord was not in the fire. And after the fire, there came a gentle whisper. When Elijah heard it, he pulled his cloak over his face, went out and stood at the mouth of the cave.
"What are you doing here, Elijah?"
"I have been very zealous for the Lord God Almighty. The Israelites have rejected your covenant, torn down your altars, and put your prophets to death with the sword. I am the only one left, and now they're trying to kill me."
"Go back the way you came, and go to the desert of Damascus. When you get there, anoint Hazael king over Aram."
This is the word of God.
Let's just pray and commit the message to the Lord. Father, I thank you that already you've given me this word to speak. And Lord, I do just surrender myself as an instrument to speak and to speak the truth in love. And I pray, Lord God, that we would be open to what you want to say, that you would just anoint your word, Lord God, and that it would accomplish the things that you send it to. For we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Okay, I have to put my glasses on to read. Okay, so we've had a reading about Elijah, and Elijah, who was in a state of depression, I would say. So the title of my message is Mental and Emotional Wellbeing. The NHS state that depression is more than just simply feeling unhappy or sad for a few days. Most of us will go through periods of sadness and downness, but being in a depression, it's a genuine health condition. It's a real illness with real symptoms, and it has some physiological symptoms to it. It doesn't mean it's a sign of weakness. You can't just snap out of it, pull yourself together, stiff up a lip. That doesn't work when you're in a depression. However, the NHS do say that with the right treatment and support, most people with depression can make a full recovery. And so my message today is to look at Elijah and to look at his experience, to see what we can learn from this so that we can increase our awareness of some of these challenges to our own mental health, and so that we can develop a mental and emotional resilience. The first thing that comes to mind as I think about Elijah, which is a challenge to our mental health, is that sense when you're coming down off a high. When you're coming down off a high, you've just really had a great time and everything is going well, it doesn't get any better than this, and you're in a place of vulnerability because your defences are down, you're feeling like, yes, I was born on the right side of the fence, everything is going my way. You think about Moses when he came down off the mountain. Moses was up a mountain, the finger of God was writing on those tablets, he had arrived. But the trouble is, you can't live in that high place. You can't live in that state of euphoria. You've got to come down the mountain. When Moses came down the mountain, there was all hell breaking loose, literally. They were worshipping idols. Sometimes we're tempted to want to live on that mountain. Who hasn't looked when you're on holiday? Maybe you haven't. Maybe it's just me. I was in Cyprus. I went to Cyprus a number of years. I was always looking in the estate agents. I wonder how much houses cost over here. Because you want to build your house there. You think, this is it, you know. And the weather, the food, the people, you know. And Peter was the same when he was on the mountain of Transfiguration. It was great. He saw Elijah and Moses appear to Jesus. He said, Lord, this is great. Let's build a tabernacle right here on this mountain. But had Jesus stayed on the mountain, obviously we wouldn't be saved today. He had to come down the mountain. And it's as you come down the mountain that you can actually encounter that low. You know, it's not all, everything's not all going right. And one of the things I think we can do as a strategy to counter that high and down, and so that we're not kind of up and down type of people, is to have a memorial of those high times. It's okay to celebrate. Sometimes in the Old Testament, God would encourage the Israelites to have a feast day to remember what God had done. One time he told them to take stones out of the river and to set it up. And so when your children ask, what are these stones? You can give a testimony then and say, well, that was the time that God did this and God did that for us. So that, I think, is a strategy when you're in those high places. And what's the modern equivalent of taking stones? Maybe it's a selfie, you know, maybe it's a posting on Facebook. That's a memorial thinking, yeah, we had a great time here, you know. Elijah could maybe have taken a bit of charcoal. Because his high was that he had seen God answer with fire. Fire had come down and burnt up this offering and had defeated all the servants, 400 servants of Baal. They couldn't get their fire to light. But Elijah had seen God do this amazing miracle. And it had been doused with water as well to boot. And God had answered and burnt it all up. Maybe there was a little something he could have taken there. So that when he looked at that bit of charcoal, he could have thought, you know what? God answers with fire. Or he could have set up an annual barbecue. Let's have a barbecue on that particular day. And at that barbecue, we'll remember how God answered with fire. And what does that do? It kind of just counterbalances that low. When you're looking back at your pictures, when you're looking at those memorials, when you're having an anniversary, do you not remember the good times, the high times? So I want to do a little experiment. I want you to think of a high time that you've had, a real good time. God has been good to you, something that God has done, or something that you have enjoyed, and you've really been in that state of, it doesn't get any better than this. And I want you to tell somebody about that. Okay, that's it. You're all looking at me. You what? What did you say? What? Have I got to wake up? Yes, you have to wake up and tell somebody about a real good time that you had. Anybody? Move if you have to. Come on, come on. Right, I couldn't get you to start. Now I can't get you to stop. Okay, so how does talking about these good things, tell me about it. What did it feel like talking about these good things? It felt good. Lots of smiling. Okay. It lifts you up. Anything else? Makes you cheerful. Okay. You imagine being there. Those feelings come back again. Okay. So what we're talking about here is good emotional and mental well-being. And if you've come down off a high or you've had any highs in life, and life is full of the ups and downs, one of the strategies is about setting up some kind of memorial, a celebration. But then the other thing, what you've just done now, is give a testimony. You know, give a testimony of it. In Revelations, it talks about they overcame him by the blood of the Lamb and the word of their testimony. That testimony can help counterbalance. And Jesus, of course, before he was going back, when he had the Last Supper, it was his very last meal with his disciples. What did he say? What did he do? He eagerly desired to share the meal. It was a really good celebration. And what we're going to do now is we're going to remember the Lord's meal. So if you've moved, you can actually go back to where you were sitting. But do we have deacons who come up and... Yeah, okay. So again, giving testimony and remembering things is one way of balancing out our mental health. But also, if we are going through tough times, it's remembering what Jesus has done for us. That is another way of balancing out. The fact that he went to the cross, the fact that his body was broken for us. We can remember all that he did for us to bring us into a right relationship with God. And when he was there on that day, Last Supper, really excited to be there. That was a bit of a high. The disciples, he knew he was going to the cross. He took the bread, he blessed it, and he broke it. And he said, you know, whenever you do this in remembrance of me. And so that's what we're going to do now. We're going to come round and we're going to take some bread. Okay, good. He also took the cup and he said, remember, this is my blood which is shed for you. So we're going to remember the blood of Jesus as well. So if you eat the bread when you get it, think. And thank God for those high times as well that you've had, that you've just been talking about. And if you didn't get a chance to speak and somebody else spoke, thank God for their high time. Because we all have highs and we will all have lows. But remembering the highs can keep us balanced in the lows. If you hold on to the wine and we'll all drink it together as a symbolic gesture that we are one. Psalm 42, verses 5 and 6. Why am I discouraged? Why is my heart so sad? I will put my hope in God. I will praise him again, my Savior and my God. Now I am deeply discouraged, but I will remember you. And so we remember the Lord. Amen. So a memorial or a testimony is one thing that we can do to encourage emotional resilience. Another thing that was a challenge for Elijah was hearing bad news. He heard that Jezebel was after him, that Jezebel was threatening to kill him. So here he was very vulnerable after being on such a high place. And when you do hear bad news or you do see something, it's a shock to the system. Some people can faint on hearing bad news. And what happens is adrenaline is released into your bloodstream. Your muscles get tense. Your heart starts racing. And for some, it can bring on a heart attack if you have a weakness of heart. So the fact that this woman was after him to try and kill him. You know, he could have passed out then and there. Basically, what happens when you're hearing bad news is your flight or fight system kicks in. Either you got to run or you're going to stay and you're going to fight. And that's why your body releases all those chemicals. And if you don't do anything with those chemicals, then it can have a negative effect. And Elijah chose to run. He chose flight. And that can be a good response. You know, if you've got a lot of bulls running at you, you don't stay and think, this is the time I'm going to fight, unless you're a matador with a red cape, but you just get out of there. And so maybe that was the right response. You know, he heard they were coming. He probably might have heard the footsteps. He's thinking, let's get out of here. And that's okay, but how do we run? Do we run into, do we run and hide, or do we run as well, kind of spiritually, run to God, our Father, and cry out to him? Jairus was a man whose daughter was ill, and so he ran to Jesus, but he got the most shocking news of all. It's too late. She's dead. Don't bother the master anymore. And Jesus, hearing this, said to him, don't be afraid. Just believe. You have faith. And so there's a temptation when we get the bad news to think that that is it. You know, they've said, you know, negative report, it is cancer. Negative report, the person has died who you were hoping would recover. But just because you received that news is not the end of the situation. There is another situation as well. You can choose to run to God with faith, so that even though it sounds hopeless, even though it looks like and feels like a particular thing, you can still go to God as it is, warts and all, and say, here it is, Lord. And what Elijah did as he was fleeing is he left his servant behind and he went on. Sometimes that's a good thing, sometimes it's not so good. You know, sometimes when you're alone, that's when your thoughts become the most darkest. And so sometimes you need people around you who are going to hold you up, who's going to pray for you. And I remember when I got the diagnosis of cancer, I got people praying for me. It was like, in fact, it's lucky she's not here today. Brenda was with me at the time. And we were telling jokes, and my mouth was open laughing, ha, 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 when the doctor came in, and he looked at me and said, we did tell you that we were concerned, because I'd had a meeting before. And even though they'd said they were concerned, again, I had run to God, my faith was in God. But when I heard that news, it's like, I don't know, I was just in shock, to be honest with you. And then lots of words came out his mouth about what the treatment might be, et cetera, et cetera. I did not hear a word. But thankfully, Brenda was right there, and she was asking questions, and I'm thinking, oh, I didn't hear, and you know, and she was able to tell me what the doctor had said after we got out of there. And so sometimes it's not good, like Elijah left his servant behind and went a little further, so sometimes it's not good that you leave people behind. You need to take people with you, because the shock of whatever's going on may be more than you can bear. But sometimes it's good to put people aside. Like when Jesus got to where Jairus' daughter had died, they were laughing at him. And so what did he do? He put them out. And sometimes if you've got naysayers around you, oh, it shouldn't be. There's the old Eeyore that we know. And if you've got an Eeyore, for those of you that don't know Winnie the Pooh, Eeyore is a donkey. And he's always negative. Oh, it wouldn't happen in my day. That's how he talks. So if you've got any eels who are friends, then sometimes you need to put them out, because they are not going to really lift you up to that high place. But, so that's the kind of the flight mode. The other choice that Elijah had, which he didn't necessarily take, was to fight. And the fight that we are called to do is not a physical fight. It's not like you're going to have that fisticuffs laying, let me at them. But the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but they are mighty. That's what the Bible says. They are mighty through God to the pulling down of strongholds, casting down imaginations and every high thing that would exalt itself against the knowledge of God, bringing all things captivity to the obedience of Jesus Christ. That's what the word says. Therefore, we can use the weapons. And I'm not going to go into this. It's a whole message on its own. But using the word of God, you know, so you get some bad news. Somebody think of some bad news. Let's do a little workshop. Sorry? Okay, you've had some bad news, you're feeling off colour. Okay, what can the word bring into that situation? Yeah, it can bring help. Well, give me a word then. Give me a word. What word would you stand on?
Hope.
Sorry?
Hope.
Yes, you got hope, but what hope? I want something more physical, more something more tangible. Okay, that's something as well. Yeah, in this life you shall have tribulations and troubles and tests and trials, but be of good cheer, I have overcome the world. So, yes, you've got hope, but what brings you hope is that Jesus said, I have overcome the world. This is maybe one of the troubles that Jesus was talking about, and with Christ in me, we are going to overcome this. I used to have a friend that would say, this too shall pass. And it came to pass, this too shall pass. So, encouraging somebody with that word. Okay, give me something else. Amen. So imagine you get the notification you're going to be made redundant. How am I going to live? How am I going to pay my mortgage? You can go into that immediate fear, or you can choose to say, I know that God says in his word, I know the plans I have for you. Plans to prosper you and not to harm you. Thoughts for good. So you're thinking, okay. I remember I was called into the office and I was said that I could no longer be the leader of this particular course. And that was like, what? And there was two of us, and she was like, I'm on to the unions, I'm doing this, I'm doing that. But mine was, no, actually, they do not control my destiny because I have the word here. I know the plans. God knows the plans. And I also had that scripture that it is God that raises up one and puts down another. So therefore, if I'm being removed from this is God removing me from this. It's not you. It's not your hands. Okay, so that's one way we can fight with the word. Worship is also a weapon of our warfare. If you remember Paul and Silas, they had been imprisoned, and it looked hopeless. They had been flogged and beaten. And what did they do at midnight? They sang, they praised, they worshiped God. I don't know if you've ever been there, where everything, I've been there many, many times. And it's through the tears, and in fact I wrote a poem, through the tears and through the pain, I will still praise your name. Because it was just hurting. And sometimes that is just a weapon of warfare. And apparently, tears actually release endorphins into your system. Who knew? I didn't know. But actually, it's a feel-good thing which counteracts the depression chemicals that will be circulating your body. So it's good to cry and let it out. But in worship, cry out to God. Prayer is also a weapon of our warfare. Because Jesus promises to answer our prayers. And in fact, what they say in people going into operations, that people that have a faith and have prayer recover that much more. And I can't remember what the statistics are, but it's X number of times more faster than people that don't pray and have that same sort of belief system. So, hearing bad news, we can choose to fight or flight. Okay. Something else that's a challenge to our mental health is fear, anxiety, or worry. Now, Elijah was afraid. He was worried that he was the only person left who was a true believer. And when you've got fear, when you've got anxiety, and you've got worry, again, that affects your physical being. Your heart rate, your blood pressure, you can have a lot of pain in your body. Dizziness. Inability to concentrate, chest pains. Some people can have panic attacks. What did the angel do with Elijah? And I think we forget this because we're all sometimes so spiritual. We're really quick to pray, which is good. But actually, he gave him something to eat. You know, and if you've ever been in that place whereby you're not eating properly or you're eating on the go, you know, grabbing that sandwich or driving with, you know, eating from one place to the next. But actually, when your blood sugar drops, you feel tired, irritable, depressed. Eating regularly and choosing foods that release energy slowly into the body is one way of balancing out your mental and emotional well-being. And as I think about food, I think about the Word of God. Jesus said, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds from the mouth of God. So if you think about eating, also think about what's the Word of God for me today. When was the last time I looked in the Bible? Is it only on Sundays that I get to hear scripture? Or have I got a daily bread? In fact, there used to be a little thingy called daily bread. What's my daily bread from the Word of God? So eating. Then also there was some water. And apparently, if you don't have enough water, your brain shrinks a little bit and you can get headaches and you can't think properly. So just make sure you've got enough fluid. And when I think of water, I think of the Holy Spirit. Are we allowing ourselves to be led by the Holy Spirit? Sometimes the Holy Spirit, and I don't like to think about this, but it's true, as it happened to Jesus, leads you to the wilderness. The Bible says he was driven by the Holy Spirit into the wilderness. Why do we go through wilderness experiences? I think sometimes so that we can hear the voice of God. You know that saying that a plain sea does not make a good sailor. When it is choppy and the sailors are having to tie down this and do that, that's where their skill developed. Living that Christian life, if you're going to live a good Christian life, as you said, we will have tribulations, we will have tests, but it's how we respond to it. And just because you've had a test and you've come through that doesn't necessarily mean when you get to the next Red Sea that you're going to remember it. That's why it's good to have those memorials along the way. Okay, we're learning how to walk with God. So fluid Holy Spirit, remembering he's leading you through the word. We sang, even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil. And then sleep as well. He rested, Elijah rested. And there's no doubt that sleep is one of the most important factors in our lives. I think we underestimate it. What happens when we sleep? Apparently, studies show you have to have 7 hours of sleep a night. The body needs it. Teenagers need more. They need up to 10. Because during that deep sleep, your blood pressure is dropping, your breathing slows down, your muscles are relaxed. But that is the time that tissues grow and that repair occurs. Okay. So energy is also restored. If you have an hour less than 7 hours, you have a 50% chance of having a bad mood. Okay, so just getting some rest. And when I think of rest, I think about what Jesus said, come unto me all you that are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. So again, it's about, are we resting in the Lord? And somebody told me on Friday, I was at a leaving do, he said, I must tell you, because I was organizing it and I was flapping. And he said, I must tell you about the parrot in the car park. Okay, anyway, eventually, about 8 o'clock, I said, what about that parrot in the car park? He said, one day, he used to run, he was running a social work team, and one day, somebody ran into his office and said, there's a parrot in the car park. And he said, he jumped up, and he was halfway down the stairs, and he thought to himself, what has a parrot in the car park got to do with me and the social work team for children and families? So he went back to his desk. And there was a parrot in the car park, but it had nothing whatsoever to do with him. And I don't quite know why I'm telling that story now, but there was a point when I said, it's not in my notes, but hey. Why am I telling that story? Ah, rest. That's it. Because sometimes we are flapping about, as I was on Friday, we are flapping about trying to get the parrot out the car park. And actually, that has nothing to do with anything that really concerns us. So it's about how are we resting in Christ? We need to do what we need to do, but we need to rest back in Christ and not be looking after or chasing parrots out of car parks when there are other things that we should be doing. So let's just rest, be asleep in the boat. Okay, so there was a story. Hopefully I've tied in the parrots in the car park. Okay, and finally, challenge to our mental health is failed expectations, disappointments. The Bible says that hope deferred makes the heart sick. We can really be in a low mood when things are not going as we expected to go. I would have thought by now I would have been healed. I got a second diagnosis of cancer. How disappointed was I in that? It's like once, twice, I also had a brain hemorrhage. It's like, please, you know, God, what are you doing to me? And I was really disappointed. And I remember being so, I thought, I just can't go through this again. However, that's the time when you really do need to be still and listen to the still, small voice of God. Elijah was disappointed. God, you know, how comes I'm being pursued for my life? Where is everybody? The disciples, after Jesus had died, they were on their way to Emmaus. They had just watched Jesus die. They were totally disappointed, totally crestfallen. And, you know, you just don't come back from that in an instant. So Jesus joined them, and he began to explain to them and to talk to them. And really, that is one of the strategies here, talking therapies. Sometimes we need to go and talk to somebody about something. If we've been totally disappointed, totally crestfallen, let's talk to someone about it, a counselor, an advisor. But also let's talk to God. You know, I was literally, it's like, God, okay, I know you did it before, but, you know, and I was just, here am I, talking to God about it. Talk to somebody who you have confidence. If you ever talked through something with someone, come away and felt much better, even though the situation is exactly the same. That's how it is with prayer. You're pouring out your heart to God, and you know, it's not like a friend who can do nothing about it, but you know that God is going to be with you in there. And sometimes it's just that still small voice to say, I'm with you. I'm with you. And then that is enough. And I remember coming out of hospital, hearing the Lord say that he loved me. And that was just enough for me. I'd been in a lot. But yet, that was just enough for me. And sometimes, and I look back at that time, and I'm thinking, yes, it was a hard time, but God was in it. And he did little miracles along the way. And I got to speak to people and encourage people. So we're going to pray in a little bit about those disappointments, because we all have disappointments. We all have things that are concerning us. So we're going to pray in a little bit. But I just kind of want to close by saying that there are so many things that can challenge our mental health and our emotional well-being. When we come down off a high, yes, we're a little bit vulnerable. When we hear bad news, it can cause us to really be afraid and to fear. Anxiety and worry can get a hold of us. Failed expectations and disappointments will all challenge our mental health. And these are some major things, but they're also the minor things, the everyday drip drip of that leaky tap. They will knock on your door as you journey through life. But you have a choice how you answer that door. Practical things can be done. Remembering what God has done, remembering the high things, celebrating those good times. Having appropriate memorials or markers, eating well, feasting on the word of God, drinking well, being led by the Holy Spirit, sleeping, getting 7 hours a night, as well as resting in God and not rescuing parrots from car parks, as well as making use of talking therapies as well, through prayer, through counseling, but also through encouraging yourself with those scriptures. Find the scriptures that tell you who you are in Christ. But most important is that whatever circumstance, whether we're on the high or whether we're on the low, is that we trust God. We sang, I will trust in you. That should not just be a sweet song that we sing, but a cry of our heart. Job, who had gone through so much, said, though he slay me, yet will I trust him. And Meshach, Shadrach, and Abednego, when they were about to be thrown into the fire, said they knew God was able, but even if he doesn't, they would still worship God. So our trust is in God. No matter how we feel, no matter what we see, no matter what the circumstances, we need to still our hearts and listen to that still small voice of God. In Lamentations 3:20, he says, I will never forget this awful time as I grieve over my loss. Yet, I still dare to hope when I remember this. The faithful love of the Lord never ends. His mercy never ceases. Great is his faithfulness. His mercies begin afresh every morning. Amen. Okay, let's just take some time to come before God now and think about those disappointments, those failures, if they're still causing you some grief, some worry. Then we're just going to take some time to offer those up to the Lord and a little time to just be still and to hear his voice whispering, I am with you. So I'm just going to take a few minutes, well, not a few minutes, a minute, just to think and to give that to God. Amen.